business owners, high W-2 income earners, they're doing their thing already, right? And so they don't necessarily have the time to go recreate all this and vet out all this stuff. And where we've got such a huge footprint and such a finger on the pulse of what's going on, it just puts that, like, the goal, like I said, we want to pass that baton and let people run far, faster and farther than we've ever run. And our community wants to do that as well. And so it's kind of fun. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. We're back with Whiskey Wednesday. My main man, Jake Sheehy.
What's cracking?
What's up, buddy?
How you feeling?
Good. I'm feeling good. How you feeling?
Man, it's a great day to be alive.
Great day to be alive. Your parents were in town last week.
Yeah, they were visiting in town.
Visiting from, you know, came into Utah and joined the Utah landscape instead of the Georgia landscape, right?
Yeah, they loved it. My mom was a little bit over it after just a quick amount of time. She was like, yeah, I've seen plenty of mountains. I get it.
Yeah.
So that was it. But, man, feeling tired, dude.
I'm tired. Why are we tired?
So here's why we're
tired.
Okay. I mean, bro, the amount of adrenaline that kicked into my body last night. So... it's 3:19 a.m. and Nicole's dog, this little dog, starts barking like crazy, going crazy, dude. Nicole just starts screaming, bloody murder, just screaming, right? I mean, she just wakes up in the middle of the night, starts screaming. So I hop up, dude. I'm thinking there's an intruder in this house and it's about to go down. But it was the fire alarm light blinking, and the dog saw it, started screaming. So I couldn't sleep for, I don't know, maybe like another hour after that. My adrenaline just was dumping. Bro, waking up to like your girl screaming.
What? Why was she screaming? Because she didn't know what was going on.
She just hears the dog, and she's like, I guess this is it. Let's alert Jake. So she starts screaming, bro. Terrifying way to wake up at 3 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
That was terrible.
I wouldn't be able to fall back asleep.
Bro,
I'd be up.
And then also,
I'll be up for the day.
It was also like, can you check? You might as well just go check the house.
Yeah.
So now I'm like wandering around this house, turning every light on, like checking every corner. I'm like, bro, I'm exhausted right now. But hey, we're pushing through. We got great stuff on today's agenda. Hey,
you better be 100% here.
We're here, dude. I'm locked in.
We're episode 301, bro. We hit 300 last week.
That's crazy.
It's awesome.
That's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Here we go. We're talking about Liquid Death. Making a whiskey if you're going to try it. We're going to talk about these mail-in ballots. We're going to talk about buffet. Then we'll go into this hurricane. Hurricane Aaron's coming in. What should we do should people do? Oh, well, we're going to dive into the personalization of the property. Then we're going to go into like how much Vodacy really does for our members. Here's our first thing, though. Dude, okay. I saw this literally right as I was sitting in here. Taylor Swift coming out with The Life of a Showgirl, her new album. Are you pumped, bro? You pumped? Taylor Swift's new album, Life of a Showgirl.
I wouldn't really classify myself as a Swiftie, but I very much respect everything she's built and done. And it's
plain and safe, yeah.
I mean, she. I heard that like on the radio stations I listen to, because Taylor Swift started in country music, and so she was that's kind of where she started coming up, and then moved into the pop world, but. I mean, it was like a big drop, you know, a big announcement. She's brilliant marketer. She does that with all of her stuff. From what I understand, I don't follow them all exactly, but I kind of hear the after effects.
Right.
And I think people are pretty excited. Dude, I think there's a lot of people excited about it.
Huge news, bro. Yeah. Life of a Showgirl, huh? That's awesome.
I heard she made the announcement on Jason and Travis Kelce's podcast, and so they I think they were pretty pumped to probably have more people listening to that
numbers
than they've ever had listened to. Maybe we should have Taylor Swift come on and drop her next album.
There's no way in heck.
How do we do that,
bro?
That's your job. Let's do it.
Taylor Swift.
Imagine how many downloads that podcast got,
bro. Think about her rate. How much she charges. Like, if you want like a cameo, you know, those like cameo videos, or you want anything from Taylor Swift, the rate she charges, what, tens of thousands, 30,000? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
To be like, hey, can you come on our podcast? She's probably like, well, it's only going to be like $60,000, you know?
Well, we were looking up just because we were going to a concert this next weekend, and we were looking up net worths of artists.
Yeah.
And they're shockingly low, like some of them. And I'm like, what? And we're looking them up, and then like the best of the best, you know, they're worth a couple hundred million, and And we looked up hers. Like, cause I was looking up like George Strait's like 600 million.
Yeah.
The kids were looking it up and they're telling me different ones. And I'm like, okay, that's a lot of money, right? I mean, you get over 100 million. So that's real money.
That's real nice, and so, right there.
But there was a lot of them in like the $3 to $6 million range. All of a sudden, Taylor Swift pops up, 1.6 billion
with a B.
With a B. Oh, I'm dude. Like, hey, that girl is dude.
Doesn't she like cause earthquakes? I read one time like in where was she in like. Was it China or Korea or somewhere? She was doing a concert and everyone was jumping so much. It was like they found a earthquake, like waves or something. Like the man, she sells out stadiums.
That's awesome.
Thousands.
I mean, good
of
for her.
Good for her. That's crazy. But you
there's
know.
a lot of things you could unpack with her success and what she's done and what she's been able to do. I mean, pretty phenomenal.
Pre-order the album now.
I mean, she gets a lot of, you know, whenever you make it that big, you're going to have plenty of people talking shit on you too. But that's I'm not going to be one of them.
No, she's going to win.
Even though
she's
I don't agree with everything she does and says, I think she's pretty phenomenal talent and pretty phenomenal business girl.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing at the business world. Liquid Death coming out with this new whiskey, okay? You know, Liquid Death, they're a water company, right? They do like still water and then sparkling water. But now they're coming out with a whiskey. They're teaming up with Whistlepig. I think we have Whistlepig in here, don't we?
I think we have Whistlepig.
I thought I've seen it at some point
here. Maybe we probably drank it. I don't see anything on the shelf right now.
They're teaming up with Whistlepig. They're going to, of course, they're going to age it in a normal oak barrel. But I just wanted to see, would you actually try this? Would you try this? And then they're going to age it in an actual casket for a little bit of time there. Would you try the Whistlepig Liquid Death casket whiskey?
I would definitely try that.
I think I saw it said
as long as it's a new casket, not a used casket.
Right. That makes sense.
We can't be using like an aged casket because an aged whiskey barrel is different than an aged casket.
Yeah.
We don't want an aged casket.
Yeah, that's no ashes or anything. Or no stuff bones. But here we go. This is the part that I was thinking maybe he wouldn't want to try this.
Okay.
Notes of honeysuckle, biscotti, and butterscotch. It seems kind of sweet. Yeah, it seems like more of a sweet for Liquid Death. I thought that they would go more with like a punch to it. So would you still try it with the sweet flavors like that?
Yeah, it depends on how sweet it got.
Yeah.
Sometimes they say there's hints of this, and this, and all of a sudden you take it and you're like,
bro,
I'm not picking up on any of that.
Who are you fooling?
I'm not that guy that like, I went to, we were on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail and went to a couple distilleries.
Uh-huh.
And there's you know, the tasting rooms are in there and the guy that's giving you all the whiskeys, he's telling you all these different things. And he's like, can you tell that? Can you tell that? I'm like, no, I can't tell anybody.
No.
I just either know whether I like it or not.
Right.
But I'm not hearing or like tasting hints of every little thing that they say. So I don't know. Maybe.
I feel that way with wine sometimes, man. You ever see the, you know, the people they get it and they swirl it, then they do the big sniff into it and stuff. And you're like, come on, bro. Then they're like gurgling the wine.
Some people swear by it. They say that you taste a lot of stuff through your sense of smell as well. So that's why they do that with wine. Hey, you ever tried it?
I mean, I've tried like, you know, tasting.
Just,
like,
you know, that's not how I drink wine either. I drink it.
Yeah. I mean, come on, bro.
There are people who like, they can tell the difference. I'm not that sophisticated with my palate and my sense of smell, apparently, because I do like smelling the whiskey and the wine once in a while, but it's not part of my entire experience. Mm. I just am.
I'm not a sommelier with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what you do.
Ooh, that's a big word, sommelier.
Yeah, hey, man. My vocabulary is crazy, dude. You don't even do this. It's impressive. So wild. But when you do like the Aroma 360 and stuff, the short-term rentals, do they do whiskey smells in like the Kentucky, the bourbon area?
That's a good question.
Would you do that?
Nah, I don't know that I'd do that.
Is that too much, you think?
Probably.
A little headachey?
Maybe.
Yeah. All right, here's our next thing. Trump's mail-in ballots. You ready?
Yep.
So, I mean, it was kind of like a controversy. You know, he's talked about that plenty of times. The blah, blah, blah. But I guess he's trying to do away with it right here. Here's our little insert. U.S. President Donald Trump has announced intentions to sign an executive order aimed at eliminating mail-in ballots and electronic voting machines before the 2026 midterm elections. Now, I mean, we could go in more and more on it, but for me personally, I think that just seems like a wise move across the board. So I guess it kind of eliminates the sense of, cheating or fraud or whatever you want to call it, especially with... I felt like I heard maybe a couple of years ago where they said they wanted to get rid of showing your ID to vote. and stuff like that. And I go, but that doesn't even make any sense.
No, that makes that no sense.
I mean, if we're going to try and have like a fair and election here across the board, then that just seems like normal. You got to show your ID and you can't, right. You can't mail it in. Do you have any feeling on it?
Yeah. I mean, we want a fair election. Everybody right. does. Both sides of the aisle. And mm-hmm. I think that there's, when you start to have a lot of questions about it,
yeah.
then just simplify it. Say, hey, listen, you guys show up, show your ID, get in line, mm-hmm. go vote. Mm-hmm. But they were even saying like some of the voting machines were a problem. And yeah. so it's like, okay, at what point do you say, hey, listen, wait, I mean, you're going to stop using electronic voting machines. You know how long it will take to manually count everything. And I mean, I do mail-in ballots. I live in a rural area.
Yeah.
And I've done mail-in ballots for a long time. And yeah. so, you know, it will suck for you? Me.
Do you think the voting I'll still will go vote. Down? Or you would still go?
Yeah, I'll still go vote. Yes, I do think it will go down.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I would still go vote, but man, it's going to be a lot less convenient yeah. than doing the mail-in ballot. So the efficiencies of the electronic machines and the mail-in ballots and everything else, I think it's great. Yeah. But if we feel like we can't secure the or election trust and yeah. trust it, then what's yeah. the point, right?
Yeah, I think you're going to have people that representatives that you really care about. You know, to like, if you can't mail it in anymore and you got to like go drive, show your yeah. ID and do these things, you can't just be like,
exactly.
He's fine. I guess I'll just vote for him. Yep. You got to be like, oh, okay. You got to be paying attention and really right. care if you want to go make that decision. So I think that's kind of like another little upside to it, but it seems, it seems like it's going to be kind of tough to get that one across the board, you know, to say you can't do any more mail-in ballots. I think people are going to be like, you know.
Well, we've been doing it for years.
I know.
So I
think it's going to be a tough one to get across the board.
Yeah.
But okay, so that was just kind of like some of our fun little trending topic stuff. That was kind of it. Right. Let's get flush that out of the system.
We're just getting warmed up.
Yeah,
now.
We're getting warmed up.
That was kind of the primer.
A little tangle. All right. That's all. Going into hurricane season, this one's coming up. Not a huge hurricane like we saw. It wasn't. It's Category 4, but it's not like coming in. It's not apparently going to be destroying things like other hurricanes have been. But it seems like North Carolina, especially I think it's Dare County. Yeah. They declared a state of emergency. Here we go. This is a nice official said on August 17th news release, coastal flooding and ocean overwash are expected to begin as early as Tuesday, August 19th and continue through Thursday, August 21st. So my question, say I have a short-term rental in North Carolina in these times, what is a good way to handle the hurricane?
You know, it's every year, right? We have hurricane season. Unfortunately, I mean, somewhere gets hit pretty hard with one or two storms, depending on where they make landfall. It's always scary. And so, you know, it's scary for like me watching it from an area that doesn't get hit with hurricanes. I swear, you talk to the people who live in hurricane areas.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. Yeah. Like they're just like, you know, it is what it is. We'll batten down the hatches and and hopefully, you know, everything's okay. And like for like watching the news and stuff and you're not in an area that deals with that, you're like, man, that's a major storm, right? We don't get those storms around here.
Yeah.
And so I'm always a little nervous about it when I see those. We've got, you know, a huge part of our Vodacy family portfolio in those areas that get affected. And every single year we have members who get affected. So how do you handle it, right? One, you prepare for it, right? You try to make sure that you, when we're buying in those areas, we're looking at properties that are up on stilts or built on out of concrete, so that you're not, when you do get the flooding and then things go back down, you don't have nearly as much damage. There are certain construction builds that are just much more susceptible and resilient to those types of storms. And so we look at those, like I'm looking in Tampa right now for some properties. And very specifically looking for concrete properties. The first floor is really just garage space and everything. So it's really up on stilts. It looks like it doesn't look like it's on stilts.
Right.
Some properties you buy are actually on stilts.
Yeah.
This doesn't look like it, but it essentially is a property built on stilts. And not all properties were built like that, right? And so we're looking for those types of things. If you already own a property, making sure that you've got, hopefully you got the right insurance in place.
Yeah, at this time, come on.
You know, one of the big things that a lot of people ask about and how to navigate and how to deal with is their guests and the bookings. They're already there.
That was my question.
Do you hold a guest accountable to, do you have a strict reservation? Hey, they booked it.
Yeah.
They're coming in. You can't control the weather. So, but you don't force somebody to come to your property during a hurricane. Right. I always say, how would you want to be treated?
Right.
And so, we tend to lean more toward a flexible cancellation in those times. It's maybe you get hit, you know, like it's not like a, like you're always going to get hit with it. I feel like it's like, okay, if I was traveling and I was going somewhere and there was a big hurricane coming in, I'm not going to go. I don't want to lose out on that, that money and everything else. I get that the owner is not going to be able to rent that back out, but you're not renting it out anyway during a hurricane. And so we typically lean toward more of a flexible policy on the cancellation. I 100% understand and can buy into the argument that, hey, listen, you can't control the weather. I still have to pay my mortgage payment. I still have to do all this stuff. And so, you know, if there's, you know, if the hurricane's coming in and it happens to be on the week you booked, you're still liable for that booking.
Right.
And so I understand both sides of the argument for sure for us. You know, and for, you know, when I talk to people, in our Vodacy family, we, we tend to suggest that they think of a bit, a little bit more of a flexible policy. A lot of times what we've, where we've kind of met on some middle ground with some of our members is saying, hey, listen, if that happens to happen, we have a strict cancellation policy. We understand the weather's not conducive to a vacation.
Right.
It's dangerous here. We don't want you coming in. We don't want you dealing with that. We're going to give you a credit.
There we go.
To book another time that's available. And so that they still say, hey, listen, we're not going to give you a refund. We're going to let you move your dates.
Right.
And I think that that's really good option.
That seems like the smartest thing. That was going to be my question. That was going to be my follow-up. That seems like, tell me if I'm wrong, but that seems like the wisest route of action. Because if you want to hold someone's feet to the fire and say, no, you booked it. This is hurricane. You booked it. Come, you better come. Then it's like you're kind of almost risking now a bad review. Like, what if they came in and go, oh, well, my time was bad. There was a hurricane that was coming through, but this, but the owner made me come do it. And I'm like, oof, that could be tough. Why not just give them, like, a credit, like you said?
Right.
Or just reschedule the
date. Yeah, just try to work with them. That's what we like think. Like, let's just try to I mean, most of these properties were operating at, you know, 60, 70% occupancy. So that means you got 30 to 40% of the time it's available. Just let them change their time and use that as one of your vacant weeks, right? The, the hurricane week is one of your vacant weeks. And then, heaven forbid, something actually does happen. And the property gets damaged, and then all of a sudden you're dealing with any sort of cleanup or construction, and you've got bookings that are coming in. Now you're really forced to, you know,
that's
where insurance kicks in, loss of revenue kicks in, all those, depending on the type of policy you have.
Don't,
you know, some policies, like all of our policies, have loss of rents and loss of revenue should something like that happen.
Okay.
And so if that happens and we have to deal with the cleanup, then all of a sudden, you know, that's when your insurance makes a big difference.
Okay, so that was literally my one of my questions. How to survive that couple of weeks or months of rebuild time? So that would be, is say your property does get hit pretty bad.
Yeah.
It gets flooded. You don't have one of those with the on stilts or anything. So then your insurance would come in, depending on what you have, they would come in and help you rebuild it or do that thing. Would you just then cancel those bookings and go, like, my property, you guys can't come here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
but you wouldn't cancel. You would once again just try and reschedule for maybe next year or.
Yeah, those ones you're gonna pretty, you know, be like, you know, you can't even if the guest wants to come, you can't produce what you sold them, right?
Right.
You can't.
Right.
Your property's damaged. It's not conducive to somebody staying in it.
Right.
All those different things. So now all of a sudden you're kind of in a breach of contract. You're not able to provide what they actually booked, right? And so at that stage, you're gonna call them up and just work with them and say, hey, listen, we're gonna issue a refund. Unfortunately, property got damaged. It's not going to be ready for you to stay. We really, really apologize. Maybe you have different properties. Some people have multiple properties in an area in a portfolio. Less likely. A lot of owners just own one or two properties in an area, and they just don't have anywhere to send somebody. And so, if it's you're working with a management company, sometimes you're helping rebook the guest, so the guest isn't trying to just go find something. But a lot of times, if you had major damage, so did the general area
in
these big storms. And so a lot of times these areas kind of get shut down for a little bit. We notice that every single year whenever usually there's one or two major storms that will come in and kind of take out an area that has to get rebuilt, unfortunately. And those types of situations, you're going to be refunding and giving back that money. And getting through that rebuild process.
Does that ever, if you're buying a short-term rental, like you personally, does that ever deter you from those areas because of that? You know, if instead of like going to the mountains where maybe you wouldn't have that kind of, I mean, you have to worry, I guess, about wildfires maybe, but not nearly as much as like the yearly hurricane, I think. So does that ever deter you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it does. Yeah. And not just me, but a lot of people. Yeah, there's people that, mm-hmm. like I said, there's people that it scares and they don't want to deal with the risk.
Right.
You pay a lot more money for insurance in those mm-hmm. areas, even the wildfire areas. You're mm-hmm. going to, if you can even get insurance in some of these areas, yeah. a lot of insurance companies are saying, man, we're out. These storms are just too expensive.
Yeah.
And the cost to rebuild is too expensive. And so insurance premiums have skyrocketed the last few years. It's all a reason for that. And some of those areas, people are like, I'd rather not necessarily deal with mm-hmm. that. I'm going to go to an area that's not as susceptible to those types of annual hurricane, you know.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that makes total sense.
It's scary, right? Yeah. For me, like I said, I own a property in Destin that there gets hit. We actually owned a property in Punta Gorda, which is it got hammered by a hurricane that came through there, and it was like the center of it a couple years back.
Wow.
And our property fared awesome. Yeah. It was concrete built and everything else. And it was a brand new construction when we bought it a few years back. And so there, you know, the construction process is different. And I mean, it went right through the whole area, all the pine trees are down. And so, I tend to not necessarily completely avoid them, but I tend to be a little more nervous about it for sure.
Right. And it also seems like not just the property could get hammered, but the surrounding businesses
and that's the beauty of the area. Exactly. Every palm tree in our neighborhood was snapped in half. Right.
Yeah. And so it's like, that stinks.
Just, dude. All those different things, even though the property fared well, the neighborhood just looked like it just got hammered. Mm. And so it was, you know, there's a lot of people that are going to say, hey, listen, I'm out, or it just doesn't pencil. There's a lot of these areas right now. And when you're underwriting these deals and looking at the pro forma and I'll tell you what, it's a thing that a lot of new investors are missing. And unfortunately, there's a lot of garbage pro formas out there from people that are supposed to be, if you can't see my air quotes, gurus or experts that are sending out these pre-vetted properties. And we talked about it a few episodes ago. We just looked at one in Seminole, Florida, and they were, this guru had on their pro forma $70 a month for homeowners insurance in a beach community in Florida, which is right by Clearwater, and on a $1 million property. It was like an $800,000 property.
$70
a month. So you're telling me you're getting homeowners insurance in a hurricane area on the beach in Florida for $800 a year?
Dude, come on.
Not even close.
Come on, dude.
And you add what it really would cost, which is probably upwards of $15,000 at least. And if you have like very specific with the short-term rental and everything else, you're probably $20,000 a year in insurance. And so all of a sudden that deal that they were showing had a 22% cash on cash return had a 2% cash on cash return because they missed one thing. And so if you are thinking about those areas, you really have to make sure you're getting good quotes on your insurance because it can be a difference between, oh, this property looks really attractive and investable to, oh man, this is going to be a loser for me.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's a really great point. I love that. All right. Moving on to, we've gone into depth on unique. I felt like on the podcast plenty of times with your property, making it unique with the design and everything else. I kind of wanted to just touch on a little bit on the personalization aspect of things. So right off the bat, I feel like the way that you can make it personalized is like a letter in your welcome basket or even when you first message them to, you know, figure out what they're coming for. But is there anything that you can think of, tips or tricks wise, that you go like, we did this and it worked really well? I remember you told the story of when you and Teresa went to that hotel and they remembered your names. That was like a huge thing. But how can someone really like make the property more personalized?
It's the number one thing you want to figure out because consumers are willing to spend more money for unique and personalized services, right? And so one, we got, how can we be unique? And how do we make it personal? Couple ways we can generically make it personal. And we always tell people, choose your target audience like very carefully.
Okay.
And understand that target audience. Mm-hmm. If maybe it's couples, maybe it's adventure travelers, whoever it is. Mm-hmm. Don't try to be everything to everybody because now all of a sudden that's not personal. Mm. That's very much a commodity. I've got to be very general, right? Mm. And so if I start by selecting a very specific target audience, and let's say it's couples, and I'm doing a romantic getaway, Well, everything that I do to set this property up feels personalized because that's who I am. That's the type of traveler I am, right? So even before you start to learn my name and whether I'm coming in for an anniversary or for an engagement or for just a getaway, whatever it is, right? Once I, the entire experience was already set up because that's the target audience that I fit into, right? And so, so think about target audience is the very first part of that personalization and how you set that property up to be very unique and personalized for that group of people, right? Then you take it that next step, what you're talking about, which is saying, okay, how, you know, what are they coming in for? Try to figure out why they're visiting. And the minute you can figure that out, and they'll tell you, right? Yeah. Hey, we're coming in for a baby moon. We're coming in for a honeymoon. We're coming in for a getaway. We're coming in for, you know, an engagement. We just got engaged or whatever, right? And so whatever that ends up being, you end up writing out and having that, you know, a very specific, like, hey, congratulations. Thanks so much for spending your honeymoon with us, for spending your engagement partner with us. And now all of a sudden it's that second level of personalization with their names and everything else on it, right? And so what we used to do as well, based on the target audience, is we'd always have a welcome letter. We'd always have a gift basket that was geared toward what they were going to be coming and doing in the area, right? And so, like, my I give the example of my fly fishing one a lot, where we had I had a box of hand-tied flies from a local fly fishing company. We had a map, and I would highlight all the maps. So that was, again, they know that they didn't just print that off. I would go buy the maps, and I would highlight the parts on the river, and I'd have an arrow and say, right behind this log, there's always fish here. Oh, down the river about a mile or two, there's this stack of rocks. You got to make sure that you fish the tailwaters off those rocks. And I would write these handwritten notes, and I would make like 50 of them. I mean, it would take me a whole afternoon once a year to write all these. But then when they got them, it was very personalized. Hey, Jake, thanks so much for spending some time with us. Here's a box of my favorite flies right now. Here's a map that I put together for you so you know exactly where I like to fish and some of my favorite spots on these rivers. And they would get that. And even though I did that for everybody, because I knew my guest was very specifically coming in to fly fish, it felt very personalized, right? And so you can do it at kind of at scale, if you will, where you can kind of do it the same. And or if you want to, you know, raise the bar, is figure out also, why are they coming in? What's bringing them to the area? And try to make it very personalized to that specific event that they're coming for as well.
Man. That was really good. I didn't think about the target audience. That was really nice. So, I mean, it pays if you just take some time to do that. You wouldn't expect your property manager to do that, those things for you. You as the owner would have to do that yourself. But it pays to do that. That's a great way.
100%, right? It pays because people are willing to pay for those types of things.
They're going to remember it and they'll come back.
And people resist all the time in our world. It's very, very difficult to get an investor to say, I'm going to set this property up for this specific group or this specific person. Because they're thinking, well, I don't want to leave out all these other people. I don't want to leave out the people that are just coming up to Yellowstone. And I'm like, I mean,
why do you think that is, man? Well, that doesn't, that just seems, that seems like a normal thing. I mean, there's restaurants that only do burgers. There's restaurants that only do sushi. There's places that only sell clothes and not shoes. There's, it seems like everywhere you look, that's like, that's normal. Why is it so tough for investors to get that?
I don't know. I think it's, one, I think that we're, you know, a lot of, like in our world, these are mom and pop investors. They're not institutional type investors, right? They're mom and pop. They're not really trained on consumer behavior and marketing and what that and really understanding how that's what people pay for. So that's how you're going to make more money, right? You have to give the consumer a reason to pay you more than somebody else. They don't, I think it makes sense to them when they hear it, but I don't think that they walk into the game thinking this, right? And so what they do is walk into the game thinking, I'm going to have this beautiful model home in a great area. And what they don't realize is that becomes a commodity because that's what everybody else thinks as well. And that's what everybody else does. And when you just have basically the same proximity, just as beautiful of a home as everybody else, and the consumer's looking at them all saying, man, I've got these 100 homes. They all look awesome. I mean, I could, you know, basically throw a dart at any of them and be happy. Then all of a sudden, the only way they're judging you is on price, right? Because you're a commodity. You're all the same. If you become unique and personalized, now all of a sudden you gave them a reason to not only choose you above everybody else, but also you're justifying them paying you more for that, right? They're saying, hey, listen, as a consumer, I'm willing to pay for personalized services. I'm willing to pay for unique. I'm willing to pay extra for that. That's for something that is different. People pay for different, you know? And so it stands out. And I don't think that a lot of investors in our world, especially, they just don't, it makes sense if they think about it, but it's hard for them to walk in and say, because in their mind, they're saying, well, if I do that, that's, I'm only going after a small slice of the people that are looking out there. And, you know, I'd rather cast a wider net and that's not how it works.
No. I mean, do you think it ever helps to show them like, hey, go on Airbnb and tell me which property you want to stay at if you look in this area. And then they can see for themselves like, oh, all these are great, but clearly this one's better. Like, are you, if you're able to show them, like, you know, instead of just telling, does that help like click in the head?
Well, I think it always makes sense whenever we talk to individual investors, we're showing them that stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Visuals always help. It's like, oh yeah, that's, I can see why people would pick that, you know, over everything else, because it stands out. It's different. It gives me a reason to pay more. All those different things make sense. It's still hard for people to do, which is why I think that those of us that are willing to do it have quite a while to the run at the top of these markets, because you're just, we live in a mom and pop investor world in the short-term rental space. The institutional investors who do understand consumer behavior, who spend a lot of money on understanding that stuff, and have entire teams understanding the psychology of consumers and what they're willing to pay for, which is why you see the, you know, the a lot of niche companies that will go after very specific target audiences depending on whatever business they're in, because they know that this general, that, and if you're going to be, Dan Kennedy was the first to really say this. He said, if you can't be profitable being the low price leader, there's no advantage in being the second low price leader. And so what low price means is like a Walmart and everybody else, right? They can make that business model works and it can work at scale. You can be a general, you can go out and be like a general offering to a lot of people. You have to do it at such a cost though, that it is, that the price is what the consumer is judging you on. And so if you can't make money being the lowest priced person in that world, there's no advantage to being the second lowest price. So you better figure out how to be at the top of the game.
That makes, okay, you know? Like how you said that. That makes sense to me. Yeah. That makes total sense. Yeah. Oh, dude, that, all right. So finding that target audience, going into your niche, that's huge to make it personalized.
And it's not that hard. You're just creating this immersive experience for a specific group. Feels super personalized, feels super unique, feels different than what anybody else is doing out there, which is why we have our Vodacy signature recipe. That's the entire goal behind it. And then the results are you get paid more than everybody else, which is pretty themselves. Fun. Yeah.
Okay, now this is our last thing that I wanted to touch on. So I'm in school. In our school here, and I'm looking and I keep seeing these amazing properties that are getting posted, and I thought to myself, there's no way, dude, there's no way that like these are actually amazing properties that people could actually buy. And so help me understand this. So you're trying to tell me that someone could join Vodacy and then we can show you properties that are actually, that are great deals, and then we can tell you how to design those properties, and then we can tell you how to market those properties, then we can tell you how to manage those properties. Right. Then we can tell, so we walk you through every step of the way, right? Because I don't want listeners or people watching thinking or seeing this and going, oh, okay, well, they're just going to help me with like the management. They're going to help me with the personalization of the property. Whereas like, no, we can actually show you like, this is a great property.
Yeah.
Like if you're wanting to do this, but you don't know where to go, you don't know what to do, we can start you from scratch.
Yeah.
Isn't, so that's like,
yeah. So Vodacy at this stage, and here's the commercial pitch, right?
Yeah.
So,
I kind of want to pitch it because I'm like, this is so good.
Well, at this stage in the game, is Vodacy started off as me teaching and coaching investors how to succeed in the short-term rental world. It never changed from that. At our core, that's what we want. People walking into this game with their eyes wide open, understanding what it takes to operate in the top 1% of any market that they go into. We know how to do that. And so now that doesn't mean you go into every market, because there's some markets that aren't that great, that investable when you start running the numbers. But based on all those things, we know what it takes to put you at the top, make the right decisions. We've also, over the years, there's a lot of vertical integration that's been happening, right? There's a lot of back end, resources, companies, everything else. In mm-hmm. fact, in the next 3 or 6 months, you're going to hear of, you know, an entire, you mm-hmm. know, new announcement with mm-hmm. Vodacy of mm-hmm. being basically, I mean, we're forming, these companies are already formed. Mm-hmm. We're going to roll them under one umbrella mm-hmm. where we're saying, okay, you tap into an acquisitions team, right? With mm-hmm. that has all the properties. You tap into full design and construction mm-hmm. and listing optimization mm-hmm. and marketing teams and everything else. And so at this stage in the game, that's really what Vodacy is. It's right. walking in and saying, okay, here's the recipe. Here's the blueprint. Here's all these experts that are here that are very specific, topic-based, specialized experts mm-hmm. along the way that not only show you how to implement all this stuff, but you can tap into these companies and have them actually do it for you if you want.
Right.
And then you also are surrounding yourself with a whole bunch of people operating at a very high level, right? And so, yeah. so it's this company that has grown to the stage where there's nothing else like it in yeah. In the world that mm-hmm. I know about. I mean, yeah. there's nothing even close. There's a lot of coaches out there. There's a lot of, you know, designers. There's a lot of, you know, realtors and mm-hmm. acquisitions or mm-hmm. underwriting or whatever you want to see. There's mm-hmm. not anything that's so vertically integrated like we have at Vodacy that you just plug into a recipe.
Right.
And the recipe that has so many case studies and results to look at and say, yeah. okay, the performance numbers are really pretty hard to argue with mm-hmm. when you just look at them. Oh, and by the way, you're going to surround yourself with thousands of other amazing investors that we talk about being a mom and pop business mm-hmm. that you get to tap into that are operating at the very top of these markets and understand and treat it like a business.
Mm.
And ultimately just basically, I was not in an arrogant way, but say, hey, this, people aren't going to be able to compete with us. Mm-mm. And they don't. Mm-mm. And they don't compete with us in the markets we go into. Mm-hmm. And when I say we, I'm saying collectively, our Vodacy family, our Vodacy services, all of the, when people are putting that Vodacy recipe together, and it's mm-hmm. not Sean's recipe anymore. Mm-hmm. It's, hey, listen, we got in this game and we have, over the last 6 years, put together this company that's completely vertically integrated for somebody to tap right into every single aspect of what it takes to succeed. And by the way, you don't just have mm-hmm. one coach here. You've got dozens of coaches that are all specialized experts in whatever aspect they're in, from finance to acquisitions to design to construction to
photography.
Marketing, photography, yeah. listing optimization, management, everything, yeah. right? Yes. And so you're saying, okay, it's like, how do we, like, it's, I don't see how somebody could go in and do that on their own.
Yeah.
And so it's, like I said, I'm not saying I'm trying to be arrogant to say, we're going to crush you in whatever market we compete with people in, and why it's so predictable for us. We can almost, with our eyes closed, I feel like hit the top 10% of any market, right? We know exactly mm-hmm. what it takes to hit the top 1% of any market.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's more details that go into that. Right. But that's the goal. And it's why we can skyrocket to that group of our 1% club, and why it continues to grow. And every single month, we get more and more people inducted into the 1% club.
Mm.
And because they can just tap into a system
yeah.
that they don't have to go recreate. Yeah. They don't have to figure it out. And, and you know, stay tuned for some pretty exciting announcements on the some of the things that we're doing on the back end
yeah.
to just make it to where, I mean, again, it's just putting people so far ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
That they can, and the goal is for them to stay ahead of the curve, because the curve, the game continues to change. We're in an evolving industry. It's been shifting and it's been growing at a rapid pace. I've been fortunate to watch this industry grow up from the very beginning of it. Really, when I bought my first one in 2006, Airbnb wasn't even really a thing. Short-term rentals were a thing back over in Europe. They were doing them for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. But they didn't really gain a lot of steam here in the U.S. until Airbnb came around, Vrbo's around. Vrbo was around back then, but it wasn't what it is today.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were just using local classifieds and Craigslist and things like that. And then to watch it from there to where we're at right now, and watch it grow up and watch it shift and watch it continue to expand and watch institutional money pour into it with new software tools and technology tools to make things a little bit easier. All those different things are pretty exciting to watch and making sure that people stay ahead of that curve to understand what's good, what's bad, because there's a lot of garbage that hits the shelves as well. Anytime you have a mainstream asset class like this, and a lot of how should I say it nicely? I don't want to say uneducated. I was going to say uneducated investors. It's not that they're uneducated. Right. It's that they don't understand this game very good, and they look for these tools to make it easier for them to make better decisions. And there's a lot of garbage tools out there that are spitting out garbage in, garbage out. And so being able to vet that out and understand what's producing good, valuable information that you can make good decisions on versus not. And if you're not in the space, and you know, most of our clients aren't, you know, they're you know, business owners, high W-2 income earners, they're doing their thing already, right? And so they don't necessarily have the time to go recreate all this and vet out all this stuff.
Right.
And where we've got such a huge footprint and such a finger on the pulse of what's going on, it just puts that, like the goal, like I said, we want to pass that baton and let people run far, faster and farther than we've ever run, and our community wants to do that as well. And so it's kind of fun.
I think two things that when you're, as you're talking, I want to hit on the like simplicity of things, but also like the human aspect where when you join, you're in this group where you have these experts in their field, right? They're the top of their game, which is amazing. And that can, maybe that could be, you know, kind of nervous to people, or they hear like you're surrounded by these thousands of others, you know, people operating the top 1%. And then that can maybe by chance, I don't know, make someone nervous. But you think, no, these are also still humans just like you who ask questions about the aroma of their place. Yeah. They ask, what about like, they have questions about guests. This is across the board. This isn't like, you know, you're asking some crazy things. If you have some kind of question, you can just put it in there and someone will be there to help lift you along the way. But also the simplicity aspect of it. You can, like you said, you get plugged in, man, and you just keep going through step after step after step, and you plug and play.
Yeah, and you made a good point of being able to plug into what you're really plugging into, and why we're so good at what we do, and why Vodacy has grown to what it has is the amount of mistakes we've made over the years, and not just mine.
Come on,
all of our members.
Yeah,
you combine all those together because every mistake leads you closer to what does work and what is working really well. And so, you know, we just have so much experience in understanding what works, what doesn't work. When you go in our community, somebody will ask a question about something and they'll be like, oh man, I got some really bad feedback on that. I messed this up back in the day, and here's why we do it different now. And and then this recipe just continues to mold and get perfected, not because everybody's genius is in there. It's like we just have a whole bunch of action takers who have made a lot of mistakes and are willing to basically document the process and give back to a recipe and a blueprint that works. And it ultimately, like, you can get answers to anything. Hey, well, you know, I'm looking at putting a scent machine in here. I've got, you know, thousands of scents. We're like, okay, we've narrowed it down to 3 scents just that get all great reviews. You know, it's not overwhelming. It's not offensive, because scents are a different thing. It's, it's very subjective. And so you have to be very careful about how much you put in, how strong it is, all these different things, making sure it's hypoallergenic, like all these different things. Because we've made the mistakes of putting the wrong stuff in, and somebody calls and is like, man, my eyes are burning, I can't breathe. We're like, well, it's supposed to be nice. Screwed up your experience, right?
Right.
We talk about all the good things. Well, the good things that work have come from the mistakes we made in the past. Right. And now it's like, you know, when you have thousands of properties in a collective portfolio, that's a lot of experience, and there's a lot of things that have happened along the way that we're able to kind of document of, don't do this again, and double down on this.
It removes the stress, in my opinion. And if somebody says that they don't have any mistakes, bro, just be weary.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Bro, if somebody's like, oh, you know.
Never missed.
Just go, good.
Better than me.
All right, man. That's all I had for today. I feel like that was good.
Okay, we'll wrap it up. So this is 301. We're on our march to 400.
Yeah. Also, let me just say this. Let me just throw this in there. Go check out the Facebook Vacation Rental Revolution page.
Okay.
But also stay tuned, because we got some heavy hitter guests coming up, dude. Yeah. We got some good ones. I just booked another one today. I don't want to say who, but he's a guy that's he's pretty freaking cool, in my opinion. I think it's gonna be really good. Stay tuned. We got some cool guests.
Can't wait. I usually just wait. I see him on my calendar that day when I show up, and then we have some great conversations.
I'm pumped about this one.
Awesome. All right, guys, we'll wrap it up today. We appreciate you joining us. We know how valuable your time is. As always, if you got any value out of this show, we don't run ads, and so if you got some value, give us a like, give us a thumbs up on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. If you know somebody else who would like to be a part of these conversations, share the show. Those things help us. We very much appreciate it. And then to wrap up every episode, starting on 301, on our march to 400.
Come on.
Go pick that one thing you can do today. Start build that life that you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.